Welcome to One Health Wednesdays. This podcast aims to promote the principles of One Health and encourage professional development. Here's your host, Ginger Dixon.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Health Wednesdays, a collaboration between LabOp and One Life Epi Solutions. I'm Ginger Dixon, and I'd like to introduce our guest today, Dauda Onowola. And hi, Dauda. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Ginger. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. So you are a veterinarian in the One Health space, and we'd love to hear more about, you know, your background and how you got to this point.
All right. Thank you. So I'd start by saying I'm a vet. I graduated in 2019, but COVID-19 delayed my induction until 2020. So this is pretty much my 3 years in practice. And I picked interest in One Health right from my year four in school, when I started having a good understanding of the depth of the link between human health, animal health, and environmental health. And between year four and graduation, I was so enthusiastic about One Health. I advocated for a lot of One Health issues like antimicrobial resistance, food safety, zoonotic diseases. And in my sixth year, I actually became an ambassador, a junior ambassador to the World Organization for Animal Health, OIE. And, you know, coincidentally, they changed that to WOAH today that we are recording this. So I think that's quite interesting. So I was a student ambassador for the OIE under the IVSC Standing Committee on One Health. And our primary task was to promote education for the general population, students on our campus and people around the campus on One Health issues like antimicrobial resistance, and the contribution of veterinary medicine to public health and One Health as a whole. And that was the inaugural ambassadorship set. And I said, luckily or fortunately, I became the pioneer winning ambassador for, winning student ambassador for World Organization for Animal Health. And that really pumped me to do more on One Health. So I tilted my career in that direction, not just because of One Health, because One Health is a good thing, but because it gives me the opportunity to really serve not just animals that are my primary subject, but also humans and the environment. So for me, One Health is beyond just a concept that gives well-being to humans, animals, and the environment. It's an opportunity to really serve and create effective working systems for the world as a whole. So upon graduation, you know, I advanced my interest in One Health to try to create a solid definition for One Health. And while the old world would like to define One Health in terms of health, just health for humans, animals, and the environment, my definition of One Health is a collaborative, multidisciplinary approach to problems facing health and socioeconomic well-being of humans, animals, and the environment. I do think that that covers everything. You don't need to talk about sustainability anymore, because you're already talking about problems facing socioeconomic well-being of humans, animals, and environment in that definition. So that is how I define One Health, and that is the concept that I carry about One Health. So One Health, either as a concept or as an approach, is something that I really, really appreciate so much and that I root for.
Yeah. And so tell me what thought process, you know, went into developing that definition, or were the primary gaps that you saw, that socioeconomic factor, or where you felt like it needed more focus on the collaborative approach?
Thank you. So One out is inherently collaborative and multidisciplinary approach. There's no doubt about that part. The gap that I felt, the vacuum I felt in, you know, the generic definition we give to One Health is the fact that One Health as an approach is dedicated to health alone. You know, when you define One Health to people, ordinarily you would expect them to understand that, yes, One Health covers a lot of things, but why not incorporate that in the definition itself? So One Health as a concept is all about having humans, animals, and the environment in their best state of health. But then, since there are other socioeconomic determinants of health that are not health themselves, for example, education level, poverty levels, or let's say prosperity levels, I don't know which one goes best, but yeah. And, you know, exposure to certain diseases or certain infectious agents by occupation or some other things. So these are all socioeconomic determinants of health that you need to incorporate into the definition of One Health so that you are very certain, you've been the origin of the definition, you're very certain that the recipients, the general populace, people that don't know so much about health or One Health would understand at the first instance. They wanted to think about it or wait for you to explain before they get it out. One Health as an approach doesn't just go for health. You can use it to solve problems that are affecting health, but not directly health related. I hope this is clear enough. So that was what actually informed my definition, my perception of One Health, which I think is comprehensive.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point, you know, that bringing in those underlying determinants as well is important when we're talking about creating this best state of health. So I like that. I like the definition that you've created. Well, so tell us more about some of the other work that you've done. I know you have a couple of endeavors going.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate that. I was going to talk about that definitely. So immediately after graduation, I thought about creating a platform that would enable me, you know, do as much as I can about One Health. Like I told you, it's not just about letting people know the concept. That is the basis. It's also about serving people. So I came up with the concept of DVM Plus, which used to be all about veterinary inclusion in One Health. I was basically trying to promote vet inclusion in public health and global health systems. But then I had to just take the bull by the horn and go for One Health itself at DVM Plus. So DVM Plus is an organization that I founded, and our aim is basically to help organizations and primary care systems, national care systems, come up with One Health program designs that suits their needs, and also to conduct action-based advocacy for One Health. So at the moment, we are basically focused on the action-based advocacy for One Health that I just mentioned. And we have a One Health program that consists of a short sequence of projects. The first of this project is One Health Daily, which I'll talk about in a bit. And the second one is Z-CAD, Zoonosis CAD. And the third one is a collaboration that will enhance action-based advocacy. So the third one can be said to be like the target. So One Health Daily and Z-CAD are a means to an end, which is the third one. So on One Health Daily, which is the one that is presently up and out there, what we are trying to do is to, we're targeting all populations, but at the end of professionals, we're trying to induce their questioning, their reasoning into One Health. We are trying to induce collaborative thinking in professionals by putting the concept of One Health up to their face persistently, that they will have no other choice at the end of the day to seek an absolute understanding of what One Health is and how it benefits them. So on the other hand, we target the general populace, like people that are not in the health space. And what we aim to achieve with them is to make them understand the basic concept of One Health. So the process of One Health Daily itself is we gather quotes or statements from One Health advocates from around the world, and we put them into a picture. And we just put them up for people to see with a short explanation or a supporting statement. So we want everybody to keep seeing what One Health is all about, and not just from the lens of an expert, but from multiple lenses. By multiple lenses, I mean from the perspective of as many One Health advocates as possible. The reason for that is we believe if one person, let's say Dowder, explains One Health to you in his own terms, you might understand and not agree. You might not understand, or it might not flow well with you. It might not even make sense to you at all. But the same One Health can be painted by someone else. A picture of One Health can be painted by someone else for you, and you will understand it perfectly. And since all One Health advocates globally agrees with our a common definition of One Health being a multidisciplinary and collaborative approach to solving problems facing health and socioeconomic well-being of humans, animals, and the environment, then yeah, we believe whatever any One Health advocates will say will be correct, or largely to a very large extent correct, and will conform to the agreed definition. And that is what we put up to people. So the way I will say it, maybe you wouldn't understand, but the way someone else will say it, you would understand. And that is why we are gathering as many statements and quotes as we can from One Health advocates on various aspects of One Health and benefits of One Health, so that everybody can see what we mean by One Health and understand it for everybody's good. Yeah. I've not posted the One Health Daily quote for today, but I'll make sure it's something talking about a win-win situation. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for talking more about, you know, that project and One Health Daily and seeing the quotes. You've gathered some excellent quotes. And I think that that's a great idea about, you know, the way that one person state something may not speak to someone the way that, you know, another person says something. And so by having all these different people, you know, share their voice and their insight, it's bound to touch somebody.
Yeah, like of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about some of these other projects. You said there was a Zed card or a Zoonosis card.
Yeah, exactly. Z card means Zoonosis card. What we would be doing with Z card is just try to define some zoonotic diseases and inform people about how to prevent. Yeah, that is the basis for Z card. So the process would be, we'd have a list of zoonotic diseases at the back end, and the team, we have a peer review team that would gather content, information about these diseases, and probably some recent research about the disease, and in particular, preventive measures to these diseases. Yes. So we are trying to make people understand there are diseases that can move between them and animals, but that is not a reason for them to be afraid of animals or something. We can live without them. We are all in this together. So we're just trying to establish that understanding that there are things you can do to protect yourself and the animals and have a very serene environment health-wise for everyone to live in. So that is the concept of Zipcard. And we believe that that's a little bit more technical than 1F Daily. 1F Daily is generic. So you can see the coming succession, right? So 1F Daily telling people about, yes, 1F generally. But Zipcard will be specific to zoonotic diseases, which are, yeah, is something like that everybody fears or something. Then we proceed to the third one. We have a list of names that we want to call the third phase, but we are planning something a little bit bigger than 1F Daily, Zipcard, or any other thing we want to do on antimicrobial resistance and the rest of them. This will cover all the issues. And well, I hope I'll be safe if I narrate the process here. So what we want to do with that is to reach out to people in places where 1L is currently being implemented or operationalized and invest their experience in any form, whether text in a podcast like this or webinars, and have their experience or the plan, the protocol, and how exactly they made the collaboration between, let's say, human health, animal health, and environmental health professionals work in their own setting for a particular goal that they must have achieved. So as you can see, this needs a little bit more of work. We have to reach out actively to know what is happening, like where something is happening and what exactly is happening there. If it conforms to 1L as we must have predefined, then we'll take it on. We'll try to reach out to people in charge and see if they can share their experience with everyone around the globe. When we start that, we'll do as much work as we can on publicity to make sure people in similar situation, let's say, for example, in a community, you establish a collaborative mechanism to control a particular infectious disease, we would obtain that from you and share with everyone so that people in other parts of the world, especially in resource-tight places that want to do these, would understand exactly how they are to go about it based on what you have done. Yeah, so this the third project, let's say 1L scenarios, for example, might have been happening in pockets, but this time I want to just create some sort of massive publicity awareness for operationalized 1L processes, places where they have been operationalized. So luckily, I work for an organization called Novometrics Research Incorporation. What we do here is we utilize a process called CNI, Community Network Integration, and it is much more a project-based 1L, like the project-oriented version of 1L. So basically, I would be using the CNI process to engage people on this 1L scenario. And obviously, you should be rest assured 1L Wednesdays will come in. And yeah, obviously, we'll be interested in collaborating with you when that happens. Yeah, we obviously can do that alone at BVM Plus. So we need as many hands as we can get on deck.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I like that idea that, you know, y'all are trying to go in and see how other people have put these projects into place to kind of outline a framework, you know, for people. And in a small way, when we've asked people about, you know, their projects or their collaborative work together here on the podcast, we've kind of done the same thing too on an informal level to, you know, to let people know, you know, this is how this worked, or these were the challenges that we faced and things like that. So I think that's really important work to, especially to put it in the One Health context, you know, because working in public health, there's a lot of these frameworks available that are for very diverse programs. And I think that it's really beneficial to have one that's specific for One Health like you're doing. So yeah, I think that's excellent.
Of course. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate, you know, sharing what you're doing with DVM Plus and with One Health Daily or OH Daily. And At this point, I'd like to ask, is there any advice that you have for people who are getting into One Health, or maybe early in their careers, or students who are just starting to branch out?
Oh, yeah. I actually have something for them. So so far, we've had some, very popular problems to that One Health and One Health advocacy is facing. Yeah, you talk about education, you talk about research, you talk about awareness, because when you look at One Health to a common man at the elementary level, at the grassroots, it starts with recognizing that whatever you do have impact on animals and the environment, and it's a loop. If it goes to animals or directly to the environment, it's definitely coming back to you. So what I would advise students, regardless if your discipline is, try as much as you can. You're close to people, your family members around you, and mother, try as much as you can to put this One Health thing up to them. It's not just about seeing it in a professional setting. I think we have that problem in the One Health space. We discuss a lot of things. We say we do so much of technical things, and we discuss at the level of experts. We try as much as we can to engage professionals, people that, but at the end of the day, it's not just a tiny portion of the human population that went to school that will benefit from One Health, or that will, use the One Health. You know, we are trying to change the paradigm, change people's thought pattern, and it starts with you. So you just have to let people know about the link between humans, animals, and the environment. If you don't know so much about that, there's a lot of information out here. Education is not a problem. There are plenty of platforms that gives you the basic knowledge of One Health, the concept of One Health. And you should actively seek knowledge and keep yourself up to date about happenings around the world that will help you exemplify One Health and its implication on humans, animals, and the environment. Or we help you exemplify what will happen if we don't think One Health, right? And secondly, you should not stop talking about it. It's as simple as telling them, if you do this, it will have this and this. And for example, if you use antimicrobials too much, microbes will become resistant to it, and you will use the drug, you won't feel well, and those microbes that are resistant to the antimicrobial, we living with you or something, or people around you, are at the risk of getting it, and you keep spreading. And when you tell them the chain of action, well, if they hear it today, tomorrow, or they hear it for, if they hear it from you, if they don't want to take it serious, if they hear it from someone else, definitely they'll begin to question their own activities that come in. It's into antimicrobial resistance, right? That's just an hypothetical example anyways. So don't stop talking about it. Make sure you seek knowledge about it. You can pick one issue, just a single One Health issue, and advocate for it strongly. You can go for the One Health itself on a generic note. Just make sure you don't stop talking about it. And lastly, there's a lot of opportunities for you to collaborate. You can create a platform for yourself, just like I did with DVM Plus. I am not a big person. I am just an early career professional, just like any other early career professional. I started the concept of DVM Plus right from when I was in final year. I knew I would create a platform. I started putting a blog together. It was a Treat Animals Right. That was the first campaign I started. And I won an award with the IVS Standing Committee on Animal Welfare with that, Treat Animals Right. So it evolved into Citadel Animal, which is now a company incorporated in Nigeria with an established structure. And then look at it, I'm now having one for myself, DVM Plus. So you don't need everything in this world to create a platform for yourself. You can start on your Facebook page, on your LinkedIn page, on your on any of the social media platforms or physically on ground, you can print out some small pages and put it on board. I'm giving you hints now if you're a student and you're an ambassador. Those were the things I actually did to get so much of points at when I was a junior ambassador for the URIE. I would save my pocket money. I will go and print a lot of OIE materials on antimicrobial resistance, rabies, and I'll fill all the bots on campus.
I love that. Like,
you definitely will have to see one every day. And there was a funny scenario I like to narrate. I put one at the entrance of the one of our lecturers who is a public health, who is in the public health department. And immediately after stapling it to the board, I was going and I saw him coming. I was like, damn, God, you're in trouble. But funny enough, he was there for a couple of minutes looking at it and looking around. Who did this? Like, this is interesting. And one day I was doing that again. I didn't know he was in the office. He actually opened the door and said, so you're the one. Wow, that's interesting. You're doing a good job. And, you know, so
that's cool. You're
that is it. So if you're into ambassadorship, that's actually one thing you can actually do to get a lot of points. Well,
I like
you
that.
Can reach out to you for more, yeah, of course. So there's a lot you can do. Just make sure you're putting yourself out there. And if you need a platform, you can create one yourself or collaborate. For example, DVM Plus, you can make yourself as many ambassadors as we can get. It will only listen whatever we are doing and to make sure we are not stressed, we are not overstressed. You understand? So you can always reach out to professionals that are putting themselves that already out there on One Health if you feel you're really not interested in putting up your own platform, but there's nothing bad in you putting up your platform. So it just helps the whole cause and makes people see, yes, everybody's talking about this and you have to, you know, think in this way. So I think with that, I've said all I have for students and early career professionals like myself and what I think they can do at the very least to help the cause of One Health.
I like that. And that was great advice. I love the poster example. And I want to thank you for joining us, you know, and giving this advice and talking about all that you've done. You know, you say that you're an early career professional, but you know, as you said, you've done quite a lot, even this early on. And so we're excited to see, you know, what you do along the way. And we want to give you a moment here to thank anyone that you'd like to that's helped you, you know, along this path.
Oh, of course. There is a whole list of them right from when I was on campus. Dr. Muzamil, who is a senior colleague, who introduced me to the outside world. When I got an understanding of One Health through zoonotic disease antimicrobial resistance, and I started looking out for international opportunities to, you know, engage myself in stuff. It was Dr. Muzamil that really helped me with my search at that time. And he played a very big role in setting my foot on the right path at that time. And Dr. Ahmed Sadiq, popularly known as SIDX, like, yeah, he has been a friend, a brother, and everything to me so far. And I want to thank everyone at DVM Plus. Like, this is the beginning, and if, I wouldn't say so rough, but we are not having a fun with schedules and some other things to do with our personal lives and all that. But, you know, 1 hour there, 30 minutes here, 15 minutes over there, and, you know, look at what we are doing. And I believe we will still do more and we'll get to the height we aim at, obviously, by God's grace. But yeah, I want to thank everyone, Nathaniel, Courtney, Ibrahima, Koma, the Ivorian on board, Bola, and Kingsley, and everyone that has had something to do DVM Plus so far. And I want to thank you to Ginger for the quote. And through that, I would appreciate everyone, every single person that have turned in their quote or statement for One Health Daily. We really appreciate the program would have stopped by now. The project would have stopped by now, if not for them. So it's because you guys are turning in quotes that we are moving ahead and you know, just supporting ahead and seeing if we can, you know, get where we aim to get. So thank you, everyone. Thank you to everyone that have submitted their quotes, those that have been posted, those that are still in line for posting. And thank you to everyone that would submit in advance. Yeah, because I believe after airing this podcast, some people will be moved to submit for our One Health Daily. So if you are one of them, thank you in advance.
Yes, absolutely. And please send your quotes to Tadauta.
Thanks for the advice.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, and we wish you luck on your One Health adventure here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for hosting me. It's the kind of thing we are also, you know, promoting collaboration, and let's see where we get from there. I believe in no time the world will get it. And for example, antimicrobial resistance will not cost 10 million deaths in 2050. I normally say that with fingers crossed. But yeah. Yes, you and I and a lot of people together to really get the information out there and, you know, redirect access to antimicrobials. The problem with antimicrobial is not absolutely the excessive reduction or let's say excessive availability, but access. You know, some people, for example, in my place, you can get metronidazole for like 5 to 10 cents, fusion to dollars. You can get tetracycline. Also, it's just cheap and too available in some places. Why you get to some places to get antimicrobial, like any antibiotic you would need to use, even for humans, is just too difficult. So it's a matter of access, making sure the right people, those that really, really need antibiotics for infectious pathogens, really get it. And it's not as if it would be too available for some people that anything that looks like an infection, they take it. And some other people are not getting. So when you look at the issue of antimicrobial resistance, for example, it needs everyone to come on board. You need veterinarians to control the use of antimicrobials in animals, because no matter how much of work you do in the human space, if you don't consider antibiotic use in the veterinary practice, then you're probably going back to point zero, because people interact with animals, they take animals for food. And, you know, these are just examples of how these things happen and induce some unwanted effects at the long run. So we need everybody to come on board. And I hope that we'll get this in good time, and every profession will think One Health. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And powerful words to close on. I appreciate that.
To support the mission of One Health Wednesdays, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify, and remember to leave a rating and review. You can find us on all social media channels and at onehealthwednesdays.com.